This is The Common Good, where we showcase the collective achievements of all that contributes to a positive and well-informed community. I'm your host, Joe Clemens. Over 60% of all bankruptcies in America are because of medical debt. And of those bankruptcies, 78% of those folks, crazy enough, have medical insurance. Most everyone knows someone who could use a little help with their medical debt. My first guest this week is Jared Walker, the founder and president of $4, a local nonprofit that is working to help folks pay off their medical debt. If you think the stats I mention about bankruptcy caused by medical debt are staggering, you'll want to stay tuned for more on my discussion with Jared on that. In the second half of our show, I'm excited to welcome Jason Hattrick with LifeVest Inside. The stated mission of LifeVest Inside is to empower and unite the world with kindness. LifeVest Inside is a nonprofit organization that equips people worldwide with the necessary tools to recognize their own potential to become a catalyst for positive change in the world by helping folks to transform inspiration into action. They do this through inspirational media, technology, education, and on-the-ground social engagement. I'm Joe Clemens, and we've got a lot of common good to cover today. $4 is an organization that, well, for lack of a better term, just helps people. It helps people in so many ways, as we're going to learn about today. And I'm very pleased to have with me today Jared Walker, who is the founder and CEO of $4. As a Portland native with a family that experienced the stresses and uncertainty that comes with medical debt, Jared was able to see firsthand how even modest assistance can make a big difference. In 2012, Jared and his family experienced a personal experience and thought that he wasn't the only one to experience this, and he wanted to help. And he did a quick search and quickly realized there wasn't a single organization who would be able to help. And even though he didn't have the resources to give a family money, he wondered, what if he could rally people to give $1? So thinking about, you know, I don't have the ability to give $10,000. What if I could rally 10,000 people to give $1? And with those words of what if, the foundation of the mission for $4 was born. And I'm very happy to have with me today Jared Walker, founder and CEO of $4. Welcome, Jared.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. So I just want to plug that I found out about you through a previous guest, Ryan Harder, who was on, and he has a local business. That week we were highlighting local businesses here in Clark County, and his business is Harder Creative, and he was sharing with me all of the good stuff that you're doing in your organization. And I just want to say that's one of the things that I personally like about doing this work is that whenever I meet somebody new in the community, I learn about somebody else or two or three other folks that are doing really good stuff that, you know, I personally may never have heard of. And so I'm really glad to have the opportunity on today for you to share your story, because I really am truly inspired by the work that you and your wife are doing in this work. So I guess just to kind of kick it off and get it started, kind of give us a summary of $4 and what's it all about.
Yeah, and big shout outs to Ryan and Leslie at Harder Creative. They are great, and that buttery voice that you hear on our voiceovers, that's all Ryan. So
he does have a buttery voice.
He does got that smooth butter voice. What was the question?
So tell us about $4. How did you get started?
Yeah, so 2012 was when the idea kind of popped into my mind, watching my own family kind of go through it. My wife had received a phone call. Her aunt passed away from cancer. 20 minutes later, I get a phone call. My cousin goes into labor 7 weeks premature, and the baby needs a heart surgery to live. So we were both kind of faced with family going through it and just wondering how we can help. And yeah, the biggest thing that was brought to our attention was like, you know, how are we going to pay for this? What do we do? And that was kind of what sparked, you know, people that are going through this, this type of medical crisis shouldn't have to go through a financial crisis at the same same time. And that's just kind of how it works, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So we set out to help people in those situations. And you know, at first it was kind of like, well, where can we volunteer? What can we do? Because I'm sure that there's organizations that are already doing something like this, you know. And that just wasn't the case. So we were kind of shocked at that. And, you know, it was really, after kind of looking at some of the statistics, it was shocking to me that that it wasn't already something in existence. So we launched it from there.
Let's talk about statistics. I think that these numbers will kind of blow people's minds.
Yeah, I mean, they blew my mind. Like, it was, you know, so I do a quick Google search and, you know, medical expenses, medical debt, and it was 65% of all bankruptcies in America are because of medical expenses. And that was just kind of like, okay, well, wow, like, this is a big problem.
That's a big, huge problem.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot. It's a lot of people. And the next one was, well, 78% of these people have insurance. And
78% of the 65% who filed bankruptcy.
Yeah, so most mm-hmm. people, yeah, most people that are going bankrupt over these medical expenses are, they actually have insurance. It's just, you know, there's a lot of out-of-pocket expenses, stuff that the insurance doesn't cover, mm-hmm. and, you know, really gets people in a tough situation. So the one that really, really kind of made it all click was 85% of the people that declare bankruptcy on medical expenses. 85% of them, it's bills that are less than $10,000. And that was kind of like, what is going on? $10,000, like, that's doable, you
right,
know?
Right.
I'm thinking, you know, how are we going to raise $200,000
right,
to,
right.
you know, to save this family?
Right.
And that's just not the case. Mm. It's smaller bills. And, you know, I always go to our examples, you know, families, you know, single mom, kid with cancer, she can't go to her job because she's taking them to the hospital four mm-hmm. or five times a week, and like $4,000 or $5,000, that's enough to put somebody over the edge. And that's kind of those are the families that we're helping.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks would probably be shocked to hear those statistics. And when we think of medical debt that drives people to bankruptcy, yeah, you're right. I mean, we're thinking hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
But when we think about these numbers actually being attainable, I can see where in your mind you immediately thought, wait a minute, we can do something about this.
Yeah, and I kind of think that when anybody sees a problem like this, they immediately think, like, it's too big, what could I do?
Right.
And, you know, the problem is so big, we're mm-hmm. not going to be able to do anything. And that was kind of what got me excited when I saw that. It's like, well, the problem as a whole is enormous, but mm-hmm. for one family, like, we can make a difference. And that that's what got me really excited about it.
Yeah, one thing I really appreciate that you said when we first met is that when you're going through a medical crisis, you shouldn't have to go through a financial crisis too at the same time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, talk a little bit about what are some of the impacts to health. So if you're having a medical crisis and you're already sick, and on top of that we throw the stress related to piling bills, and they don't have to be like huge medical bills, but even just bills associated with not being able to go to work because you're sick, what does that do? What does that do to your health?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously that, you know, there is, you are going through it, or somebody in the family is going through it, you know, with some type of condition, medical condition, and that's stressful enough. Then you get the finances, which, you know, is typically, financial stress is a big one. And then I really think that it's, you know, we have families that say, you know, dealing with an insurance company is a full-time job, and it mm-hmm. really is. You know,
yeah.
there's so much. I feel like people just get really, really overwhelmed when they're in that space of, okay, I have, you know, a sick family member, and not even to mention the emotional stress that goes into it. Like, this is heavy stuff, you know.
Right.
People are dealing with, you know, trying to save their life or save a family member's life. So it's really like, you get the emotional, you get the physical, you get the financial. I mean, it really kind of all comes to a pretty big boiling point where people just need help, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, you ask anybody, and people are going to know somebody that's going through this. I mean, it's not it's very relatable. Everybody
yeah.
knows somebody that's going through a medical crisis, whether, you know, diagnosed with cancer or kidney failure or heart failure. I mean, it's just, it happens all the time. And that, you know, we just kind of went with that dollar theme, and it worked.
So the concept is, you ask folks to give a dollar, and it's $1 per month. It's not a dollar a day. It's $1 per month. My math, my quick mathematician skills tells me that's $12 a year.
That's 12 bucks.
As our friend Ryan Harder said, I'm not going to get an overdraft fee because I'm shy of 12 bucks a year.
Yeah, so basically how it works is people sign up for a dollar a month, 12 bucks a year. Every month you get a video, tells a story where your dollar goes, who it helps. Then at the end of the month, you get a follow-up video, shows the impact of our community. So we got thousands of people sign up for a little bit, and we're able to make a big impact for a local family. We give 100% of every dollar to local families.
And in order to do that, you've got some partners that are helping you, because there's some administrative costs when somebody signs up online and says, here, I want to give a dollar. There's some administrative costs. Who's helping you out with that?
Yeah, so the immediate, you know, a lot of people say, hey, well, how on earth do you give 100%? And we give 100% of the public donation. So you sign up for a buck, 100 pennies of your dollar goes to the family. And we do that because we have corporate sponsors, we have private donors that will give directly towards the operating expenses. But even more so, in between, you know, the year 2012 and 2015, when we were kind of in our figure it out stage, we were trying to find a merchant processing company that would support our 100% model, because that was something we were really, really passionate about. So we ran into Riverside Payments, which is actually here in Vancouver. And the CEO just totally connected with what we were doing. And he said, you know, we're going to donate the merchant processing to Dollar Four. And even above and beyond that, every business that signs up underneath us, we're going to ask them to sign up for an extra buck for Dollar Four. So Brandon Skinner at Riverside kind of saved the day, and we're able to give 100% because of that.
We're here with Jared Walker. Jared is the founder and CEO for Dollar Four. Dollar Four is a local nonprofit that collects funds that they then help people pay off their medical debt to help them. Jared, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to focus a little bit on what this is all about, which is the people that you get to help. And so we'll talk about some success stories there. You're listening to The Common Good.
KXRW Community Radio wants to thank our friends and sponsors at Boomerang Therapy Works, where exercise is medicine. At Boomerang, they offer a variety of one-on-one treatment options that can be tailored to your health and wellness. They offer physical therapy, massage therapy, personal trainers, exercise programs, group classes, and specialize in customized Parkinson's treatments. Located downtown Vancouver, more info available at boomerangtherapyworks.com. where exercise is medicine.
Many thanks to our friends at Say Chow Catering, Columbia River Tap Room and Eatery. Chef Peter has been cooking for over 20 years in the Vancouver area. Private events including wine tasting, wine dinners, appetizer parties, and cooking demos. Say Chow Tap Room and Eatery boasts space for private events or drop-in for a quick refreshment and live music on Thursday and Friday evenings. Just a stone's throw away from the Columbia River, Say Chow, Greater Vancouver's premier catering company. Conveniently located at 2501 Southeast Columbia Way, Suite 270 in Vancouver. More information available at www.say-chow.com. That's www.say-chow.com or directly at 360-210-5522.
Hi, my name is Dorcas Smith, and these are two of my five kids, and we're the Smith family, Jasmine the baby girl and Joseph the baby boy. Well, we first found out something was wrong was a couple weeks after an injury at basketball camp. He was going up for a layup and he got kneed really hard in the knee, in the leg actually. So we took him to the doctor and lo and behold, he did break his fibula in his right leg. And at the appearance of the x-ray, there were some things that caused the doctor to say, we need to look into this a little further. And so he says, we're gonna need to do an MRI, and we're gonna need to do a biopsy to see what's going on with his leg. So then when they called us in on August 6th, they're telling us, like, your son has Ewing sarcoma. One of the biggest shocks of my life. My personal relationship with cancer was my mom. 13 years ago, she had passed away from cancer. But you never ever think of your own kids having cancer. This kid right here is such a warrior. He doesn't complain. He has been, you know, doing just flying colors getting through this each day, just with such strength and bravery. He's had to be poked so many times and with needles, and it's just been scary. The unknown and being put to sleep a few times. And but he has faced it with such bravery, and I call him Warrior Joseph.
I want to be an animator, a movie director, a author. I want to be a basketball player, and that's probably it.
You know, we're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. We're gonna kick this. It's gonna wish it never touched us.
So, Jared, tell me a little bit more about Joseph.
So, I mean, Joseph is, I mean, it's kind of crazy because, you know, you do this and you meet these families and you realize these families that are going through the hardest time of their lives are mm-hmm. the strongest people you will ever meet. And Joseph and his mom and his whole family are no exception. I mean, they are incredible people. No, I mean, his mom, Dorcas, is just the most dynamic personality you will ever meet. And she, you know, they're fighting. And they have an incredible community around them, even outside the Dollar Four community. And it's been great to see. So Joseph went to a basketball camp. He broke his leg, and then when they were doing the X-ray, they discovered he had a tumor on his leg. So it was, you know, you go into the doctor for one thing, you think it's, you know, something simple, and then all of a sudden you're being told that your son has cancer, and mm-hmm. you're gonna have to start chemo right away. And so that's kind of what they're going through. I mean, that just happened 30 days ago with, you know, for them. So it was, mm-hmm. it was really pretty fresh. And so he's going through chemo right now. He'll get a surgery later this year and then back on the chemo. So that's kind of what they're going through.
So let's talk a little bit about the program itself. And how do you find folks like Joseph? How do you find folks like Dorcas? How do you find folks that need help?
Yeah, that's the number one question. People want to know, you know, where do we find these people? Mm-hmm. And we partner with local organizations. They tell us about families in need. So mm-hmm. We partner with United Cerebral Palsy, Northwest Kidney Kids, Candlelighters for Children with Cancer, Sparrow Clubs. There's a lot of great organizations, kind of what we were talking about, you know, that are already helping these families and providing resources. And when they come across a family that really needs some help, they send them over to us mm-hmm. to try to get some of the bills paid.
Is there just stacks and stacks and stacks of people that need help?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's kind of, you know, at the beginning it was one of the challenges, funny enough, is trying to find these families, yeah. trying to partner with organizations and find the families in need. And now we're kind of getting to the spot where, you know, we even started a totally separate program just so that we could try to start filling more of the need. So yeah, I mean, there's always going to be more need than what you can meet, but we're doing our best.
Yeah. So how do you decide who gets the help? How does that work?
So what we do is each month we'll reach out to one of our partner organizations. We'll say, hey, you know, we're calling on you guys. Do you have a family that needs some help? And they'll say yay or nay. If they do, we go for it, as long as they meet the criteria, which is pretty simple. And then if not, then we go to the next organization and we ask them. So we're always looking for more organizations.
So it's not like you have a lot of people beating down your door. You guys are reaching out, you're searching for families that need help.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that folks that need the help are the ones that are the least likely to ask for it. A lot of times, it seems like they're trying
Absolutely.
To figure out how to do this on their own. And so you guys are spending a lot of time trying to go find the folks that really need the help and say, no, let us help.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nobody wants to ask for help. And it's tough. And, you know, I think that families get in that situation and it's just like one more thing you have to do.
Yeah.
Even just asking for the help can mm-hmm. feel overwhelming for some of these families. So, you know, that's why we didn't want to do like an application process or people nominate, you know, themselves, because it's just like, we don't want to put people in that situation. So we we're a small organization. We can't just throw it out to anybody and everybody to throw mm-hmm. out applications or whatnot. So, the organizations have they know who in their community is in need and they identify them for us and we take the story from there.
Okay, so let's talk about what's next. I know you guys got some things coming up in terms of you got a third anniversary coming up, but you've also you're working on a new program, and this new program, I'm really, really interested to hear more about that.
Yeah, new program has been taken up all the time. We just celebrated 3 years, so
congratulations!
Yeah, thank you so much. It's kind of weird because it's gone by so fast, but also it's been like, man, this sounds terrible, but you're almost like, I can't believe we lasted 3 years.
right.
I can't believe
we
got here.
Yeah.
But it's been super exciting, and one of the big things, kind of like what we were saying, is there's always so much need. How do we meet more people where they're at and help them in their situation? And the dollar a month idea is great, and it brings the community together and people can see where their money goes, but you got to get a lot of people if you're going to start helping 5, 10,
yeah.
20 families a month,
right.
I mean,
right.
It's a lot of dollars. So what we did is we started the debt forgiveness program. So from the start, my biggest thing was, how can I get these people's bills reduced? How can I make the dollars stretch? So I'd, get on the phone and harass the hospitals and try to get the debt, reduced and all that. And it worked, but it was a lot of time and a lot of energy to try to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we got in contact with one of our board members, actually, who's an attorney, actually right down here at Navigate Law. So he was super passionate about this as well, and kind of came together and said, let's see if we can work together on this. So we create a program where essentially, I always try to figure out how I explain this. Essentially all the nonprofits or all the hospitals in the area are nonprofits. So in order for them to keep this nonprofit status, they have to create programs and policies for low-income families.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these policies are pretty generous. Like, these hospitals have very, very generous policies for low-income families. And it's just, if you make under a certain income level, you're eligible for some sort of charity care from the hospital where mm-hmm. they will literally write off your medical expenses. And I think a lot of people think that that's crazy. It sounds crazy, and I would never be able to get my medical expenses reduced or forgiven, because maybe they don't qualify for food stamps or other different stuff like that. But it, like I said, that some of them are pretty generous. So we created a program where a family can go through our website on the debt. They just go to $4.org, click the debt forgiveness tab, and they type in, you know, I'm a family of four. I make this much money. We have bills at this hospital. And it will tell them immediately if they qualify for any forgiveness at that hospital. We then walk them through the application process, send it in, and get that debt forgiven if they qualify. If the hospital denies it, then we have a small army of attorneys that will fight on their behalf pro mm-hmm. bono. Mm-hmm. So we're getting debt forgiven, and it's awesome.
So this, to me, when I hear this story, the first thing that comes to mind is knowledge is power, right?
Yeah.
A lot of times you just don't know what you're eligible for or all the different programs that are available. So what you're doing is you're just connecting. Here's all the policies and here's the circumstances. And based on that, this is what you potentially could do.
Yeah. I mean, we're not doing anything crazy. We're yeah. just enforcing rules that already exist, and we're making it accessible for
maybe,
people.
And maybe just instead of enforcing rules, it's making the rules aware.
Mm-hmm.
You're creating awareness to these opportunities that are out there that most people wouldn't know about.
Yeah, we're just letting people know that it exists and making it accessible. I think that just when a family's hit with all that comes with, you know, these situations, that's just one more thing.
Yeah.
You know, let's try to find the application to this hospital and try right. to fight and advocate for ourselves. And, you know, like, people are poor advocates for themselves regardless mm-hmm. of if they're going through a medical crisis or not. Like,
sure.
you know, it's really hard to get people to really, really fight for stuff like this. And we're just making it accessible and easy for them.
What's the hardest part about starting a nonprofit?
I think that the hardest part for us and really for anybody is just building credibility.
Mm.
Trying to convince people you're not going to run away with their money at the beginning is
right.
is hard.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just I think waking up in the middle of the night thinking like, what the hell did I do?
Yeah.
Why did
yeah.
I start this
yeah.
thing? Because there's a lot of like second guessing yourself. You're starting something that you don't really know much about. You're passionate about it. Everybody tells you, wow, that's a great idea. That's mm-hmm. that's so great. You know, go for it. But
easy
not,
to say,
yeah,
hard like, to do.
Yeah. They're not stressing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, I think that it's just kind of continuing on and staying positive about it. And there hasn't been any lack of support. People have been incredible about $4. But just keeping that mindset, that we're doing great work and we want to keep doing that. And then, yeah, building credibility was tough at the beginning.
Yeah. What's the best part?
The best part is meeting families that mm-hmm. would inspire anybody. I mean, these families are absolutely incredible. You know, you really get a window into what life is like for some people, and that's kind of scary at some point, but, man, it's also really, really inspiring. So meeting these families and then watching them come out of it, you
mm-hmm.
know, which that's the other, you know, I kind of laugh about this all the time. It's just like, I never thought about the emotional connection you would get with these families. And it's like, how would I not think of that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
mm-hmm.
that should have been one of the first things I thought about, but you know, you are interviewing these families and hearing what they're going through, and you want to do everything for them. And it's
right.
like some of the, you know, these families are going through a medical crisis and they're medically fragile, and it's like, they don't all live. That's another thing that we've
mm-hmm.
had to, you know, realize. It's like, well, we might raise money for these families, but what happens if they don't survive the cancer, or they don't, you know? And that's been, that was a really, really tough thing at the beginning. It was just like, whoa, that
yeah.
hit way harder than I thought, you know?
Yeah. So how can folks help? What do you need?
$4. First and foremost, sign up for a buck, $12 a year.
Where can they do that?
$4.org.
Www.dollar, F-O-R.
Yep, dollar4.org. .org. Sign up for $1. It's $12 a year. 100 pennies of your dollar goes to the family. You get to see where it goes, see the families. We do events all the time where you can meet the families. You can shake hands, give hugs to people that you've helped. It's really, really cool. And then the other thing is spread the word. Like, tell people, you know, we just talked about the debt forgiveness program. If you know somebody that's going through a financial struggle because of medical expenses, have them check it out. See if they qualify. There's a lot of people that can benefit from this. And I think that, you know, just takes a couple minutes, and why not?
Jared Walker, $4, founder and CEO. Jared, I really appreciate you being on my program today. I really am glad that we're able to talk about this program. I'm really inspired by the work that you're doing. And more than anything, I just want to say thank you for all that you're doing to make our community a better place to live.
Thank you for having me on and helping spread the word. Appreciate it.
Photo booth combines classic memories with modern technology. Their open-air design allows for multiple people to participate with digital props. Whether planning a corporate party, wedding, or any other special occasion, VIP Photo Booth is sure to provide hours of entertainment, smiles, and laughter. More information available at www.vipphotobooth.net or at 360-721-0224.
The stated mission of Life Vest Inside is to empower and unite the world with kindness. Life Vest Inside is a nonprofit organization that equips people worldwide with the necessary tools to recognize their own potential, to become a catalyst for positive change by helping folks to transform inspiration into action. They do this through inspirational media, technology, education, and on-the-ground social engagement. And some of that on-the-ground social engagement is what we're going to talk about today. I'm pleased to welcome Jason Hattrick, the Chief Operating Officer for Life Vest Inside. Welcome to the program, Jason.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you about this today because we need more kindness in the world. We need people to turn that inspiration into action. We need this now more than ever. But to get started, you know, I kind of gave us a little bit of an overview about Life Vest Inside, but I'm curious, tell us in your own words, what is Life Vest Inside?
I always tell people that Life Vest Inside is a global kindness and empowerment organization. And as you mentioned in our mission, you know, we're here to inspire, empower, and educate people. But how cool of an opportunity is it for us to have people receive a platform through us? Mm-hmm. Because everyone's given a unique story. Mm-hmm. And we give those people that platform to share that unique story because, man, that one story may be the thing that we need to hear most of all.
So you're creating a platform for people to tell these stories about or to provide inspiration or be kind to folks. So let's talk about the mechanics. How do you do that?
So we have a ton of different initiatives, a ton of different programs, and there is always going to be something that resonates with somebody. Mm-hmm. And so through those, and that's something we're going to talk about today, is some of those initiatives where people can start getting involved, whether locally, nationally, or even globally.
Mm-hmm. So give us a little primer. What's an example?
A great example would be we have our newsletters. We have two different subscriptions that go out every single – well, one of them is daily. It's called The Daily Kind. Mm-hmm. So you'll start your day with a daily quote, affirmation, and a piece of kindness media to start your day, a little two-minute blip on your email. Now, why is that important? If we prime ourselves appropriately every single morning – we're going to probably have a more positive day. Mm. A great story to kind of parallel that is I was at a coffee shop the other morning. My meeting didn't happen to show, which I was kind of glad because I sat there and listened to the barista say, "Good morning, how are you?" which is at every coffee shop.
Yeah.
And 100% of the people that I listened in on said, oh my goodness, well, I got up this morning. Oh my.
I wonder if that's because of that cough, just because they haven't had their coffee yet.
Well, I'm hoping that they prime with their coffee in the morning a little bit.
Yeah.
But the reality is we have so many people who live a I have to get up mentality or I need to get up mentality. And we want to motivate and move people to a I get to get up this morning mentality.
I see.
So, and through some of our initiatives and resources, that can happen.
One of the things I appreciate about this this morning daily kind message is the positive component of it. We get this every day in the opposite way when we get up and turn on the TV and tune it to the news. No matter which news outlet you decide to listen to, it's not really focused on a positive affirmation or here's an example of something good that happened, and you get to be a part of this. It's always typically something negative in nature.
You know, it's funny because I recently at a meeting, I had someone come up to me and say, you know, Jason, do you know why things don't take off in the kindness world very much? And I said, I bet you're going to tell me. And they said, kindness isn't sexy.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? You're right, because as you just mentioned with the news, we have 99 stories about conflict and other issues, and then we always end the broadcast with that little glimmer of light. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'd like to do is flip that on its head and do a whole lot more kindness stuff. And, you know, what we if we show more, we will get more in the end.
Maybe if we could just bookend it. Maybe start with a positive, end it with a positive. I don't want to discount the other components because it is necessary to understand even these negative things that are going on in the world. These salacious topics or whatever, but it would be nice if we could, you know, make sure that we keep our focus where it needs to be. And a bookend would be good. You know, let's start with something positive. Sandwich it. You know, we
let's
always talk
do
about
chapters. We'll have it every time back from a break. We start with a kindness piece.
Yeah, I like
there
it.
We go.
Yeah, we could do that. So I wanted. Normally, I ask folks, you know, how did this get started? But before you answer that, I wanted you to tell us about the name. So Life Vest, we all know what that is, but when I read Life Vest Inside, it makes me think, well, what does that mean? So how'd that come to be? What's the story?
Absolutely. Well, Life Vest Inside, we all have a life vest inside of us, we firmly believe. We get pushed down 100 times or more a day, but in the end, we always bounce back to the top. Mm. So when I wear my orange wristbands, my life vest color, or my lovely wife allows me to wear an orange wedding band, it's my life vest color. Or the students at my school who wear orange for our spirit color because it's our life vest color. It's not so much about understanding where the life vests lie, but it's also sometimes we can be a life vest to other people, and other people can be a life vest to us. Mm-hmm. So it's beginning to be accountable and building that community around one another where we can build people up and empower other people. And in that world of kindness, all under that wonderful umbrella, which brings communities together.
I remember when you and I met the last time, we talked about the name itself and where the name came from.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us more about that? Because I thought it was pretty interesting.
Absolutely.
It's always these little things that happen in our lives that have the biggest impact.
It's so true. It's so true. So we're going to talk a little bit about our CEO later, but Orly Waba is our CEO, currently residing in Israel. Our company is obviously based, our nonprofit's based in Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. And then here I am in Vancouver, Washington. Our world is filled with a lot of hardships. We just face them. Great people face difficult things all the time. So she, our CEO, Orly, used to be a teacher. And during one school year, faced a hardship with one of their students had passed away. We all know that in schools, that's a hardship for anybody.
Sure.
It just rocks the foundation of a community. Mm-hmm. Later that year, she was on holiday and on a layover at an airport and received news that someone in her community, a young girl, had passed away as well. Mm. Another. So it's a double blow. And then everyone listening right now can say, wow, why do bad things happen to good people? Mm. It's a very common phrase in our culture. We always try to look at them as learning experiences, as growth opportunities, hopefully as a bringing together of a community. Well, Orly had got back on her flight. She was just on a layover, and she sat down on the plane, and she looked to her side, and she saw written on the wall, Life Vest Inside. Mm. And that's where she had that epiphany, that moment where she said, we all do have that life vest inside of us. Regardless of adversities that come upon us, we can always resurface. We can always be resilient human beings and bounce back to the top. And then, poof, life vest inside is born.
Wow. So let's talk more about your CEO, Orly. So you mentioned, so she used to live in Brooklyn. I think she was a teacher.
Correct.
And then this is how this got started. But obviously, any organization like this, especially one that has a global following and such a large following as you guys do, you got to have a dynamic leader that gets it started and keeps everybody inspired. I mean, I can only imagine the level of inspiration that's required for an inspiration organization.
Can you imagine? That's so true. I've not thought of it that way. But Orly, I'll be honest. Life Vest Inside truly, at its core, began when she was 4 years old. Mm. She was a dreamer, and she says that very openly and not in some light and fluffy way.
Yeah.
Dreamer being, she wanted to change the world for good. At the age of four, she knew she wanted to. Her father was the same way. They just knew that they had bigger things in life that they were meant to do. Mm. And ever since, and through all of her life and all of her experiences, she has been able to build upon that. And you look at her right now, someone who has been on probably almost every news affiliate out there, speaks on the global stage, mm-hmm. Speaks in multiple languages when need be, because, again, we're a people organization, so when you need to reach people, you got to speak their language, too. Mm-hmm. And she has that opportunity, what she's built in this last 8 years, where she has created something dynamic. And so this dreamer that at 4 years old and decades later is still that dreamer and still building and now is actually getting some traction and moving forward. And to me, you know, that's where I came across it. It was I intersected with a dreamer and I became a dreamer myself.
So how big is your organization now in terms of followers, subscribers? I don't really know what term you use, but, you know, but if she started at four, she's had a lot of time to build this up. So how you know, how big is, and you mentioned it's global, so I imagine there's
global.
a lot of folks that follow you guys.
It is global. So we have on our subscriptions, our newsletters, we have tens of thousands of daily subscribers to that. Mm-hmm. If you go to social media, we have over 90,000 followers on our Facebook channel. We just broke the 100,000 subscriber mark on YouTube. So we have a very large following. To us, it's like, well, that's just a drop in the bucket when you look at the world's population.
Sure. Yeah.
And so, but we're now at a place, I think, that we're growing at a systematic rate. People are hearing and people are embracing what Life Vest Inside stands for. So we're big, but we're growing.
Yeah. How about you? How did you get involved? You mentioned that you were at this intersection and now became a dreamer too, like Orly when she was four. So you obviously didn't start this at four. So how did you get roped into this?
I literally have been involved in Life Vest Inside for about a year and a half, all. I'm a middle school teacher. I'm a teacher. I was a former administrator, and I realized my passion, my vein within that, you know, for the last 22 years is relationships. So I was doing some speaking also in schools. I was talking about kindness and what that is and how to be proactive with kindness and change a culture, you know, change the foundation of things so that you can have lasting change in a school system. So in my research, I Googled kindness, and the first link was Life Vest Inside. So by, you always check the first one. I thought I was going to get a free life jacket, but I was wrong. I got a whole lot more out of the deal. From there, I just, you know, we began a conversation. I then offered myself to organize a 10-day tour here in the Northwest for Orly when she was on her Kindness Boomerang national tour last year. Watched as she progressed through, and it came to a point where I actually gave her a call and said, Orly, I think I'm supposed to be your COO. And she's like, well, we don't really do titles in our organization. And I said, well, there's a lot of people I want to talk to. And Wikipedia says that I'm your, you know, by definition, I'm your COO. So lo and behold, I am the COO. And all that does is allows me to talk to a lot more people than I would not have had the opportunity before. So I do still teach full time. So I start my mornings usually, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning, and then After family goes to sleep, I work till the wee hours of morning, because with a global organization, you're also dealing with time zones.
Sure.
So, but that's kind of where my world started with this, and I can't think of anywhere else I'd want to be. This is something that definitely is going to be in my life for a very long time.
You mentioned this tour, and she came in for 10 days to Vancouver. When we last met, we were talking about, both of us are amazed at all of the really good work that goes on in our community. And you mentioned to me that same observation by Orly when she came here, and probably helped pave the way for you to become what you are now with her organization.
Absolutely.
How was that?
You know, true. We spoke in schools. We went to Dornbecker Children's Hospital. We were able to, like, just play games with the kids in the cancer ward. Mm-hmm. One evening, we took pizzas and a folk band down to a homeless camp in Portland and just got to learn people's stories. And then on the easy end, we went to the mall and gave free hugs and bought desserts for people at the Hilton. We just found ways to go out, even on Halloween. We reverse trick-or-treated, and we just went door-to-door, and we gave out Orly's book, Kindness Boomerang. Mm-hmm. It's a 365 Days of Kindness book. Mm. And with that, I have realized how much every community needs kindness. Mm-hmm. How much they desire it, mm-hmm. but more importantly, that put me in now to networking within the city of Vancouver and Clark mm-hmm. County at large, mm-hmm. and I have met some of the most amazing people, and I've been a resident of Vancouver for 44 years, and you thought you'd seen it all,
yeah.
And literally in the last 3 months, I think I've seen the absolute best shining side of Vancouver that I could have ever seen. I am proud to be a Clark County resident because of the people I've met mm-hmm. and their willingness to give and their truly how they're embracing kindness in our business community as well as in our schools and communities.
Mm-hmm. I'm here with Jason Hattrick. Jason is the COO of Life Vests Inside, a nonprofit organization that promotes kindness on a global scale. Jason, we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about some exciting events that you have that are coming up and a little bit more about Life Vests Inside. You're listening to The Common Good.
KXRW Community Radio wants to thank our friends and sponsors at Boomerang Therapy Works, where exercise is medicine. At Boomerang, they offer a variety of one-on-one treatment options that can be tailored to your health and wellness. They offer physical therapy, massage therapy, personal trainers, exercise programs, group classes, and specialize in customized Parkinson's treatments. Located in downtown Vancouver, more info available at boomerangtherapyworks.com, where exercise is medicine.
Welcome back to The Common Good. I'm your host, Joe Clemens. I'm here today with Jason Hattrick. He is the COO of Life Vests Inside. Life Vests Inside is a nonprofit organization that promotes kindness. Jason, before the break, we were talking about kind of the who, what, when, where, and how this all got started. But really, you know, any nonprofit organization or any organization for that matter, what keeps it going is the success. And so I want to talk about that. So share with us how the work that you guys are doing is how you view success. Like, what are some success stories?
Perfect. Well, first I'll say LVI, Life Vests Inside, in and of itself is a success story. Mm. Again, you hear about nonprofit organizations, and the more I hear about them, what I realize, you know, they say they function on a shoestring budget, they do these things, but I think they actually function on less. Mm-hmm. And those are the resilient organizations within our community, and Life Vests Inside now being in Clark County, that makes them that much better. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a nonprofit. That's persevering. Why? I think we're persevering because we provide a need and not a thing. We recognize the inherent value in ourselves and others, and by doing so, we're also helping others discover their value. Mm-hmm. And so we're providing a tool. We're providing that resource. It's not just a thing. So one huge success story that I think I'll mention here, because it will actually impact Clark County, is our Dance for Kindness. program. Dance for Kindness is a worldwide initiative that kicks off on World Kindness Day, which is November the 11th this year. Last year, so Dance for Kindness, by definition, we are a freeze and flash mob. Mm. And everyone's now listening going, oh, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to happen in Vancouver. Simply enough, our freeze mob is people come into a song and they freeze in a position of kindness, whether their hands are in a heart, they're hugging somebody, could be anything they deem as kindness. And then the song changes over and then we dance. And it's, you know, one song, one day, one dance, all under the umbrella of kindness. Why? Because kindness is a language. Kindness is a universal language that everybody knows, regardless of nationality, ethnicity, socioeconomics. People can speak kindness in all the languages. So last year, our flash mob was in 50 countries, 120 cities. We had over 15,000 people participating.
Wow.
It is truly our one annual fundraiser that we do. Mm-hmm. So people can register in the city. They can go onto our danceforkindness.com webpage. Mm-hmm. They can see if there is an actual flash mob happening within their city. Mm-hmm. And it costs them $10 to register. They register. We send them the link to the choreography. And then on November 11th, they all converge together. And what's exciting for me, for Clark County specifically, is we haven't done one of these before. I've done a private event for my school, but I've not done one for the city. So we're going to meet in the living room of Vancouver, and I'm going to challenge every business listening to bring a contingency of their employees, and I want to find out which company can show the most kindness through the most people registered and bringing them down. I would like to have over 1,000 people dancing on the bricks at Esther Short Park this year.
So the living room of Vancouver, Esther Short Park.
That's what I call it. Yes, and so, and that's coming. That's coming really soon. So November 11th, people just need to go to danceforkindness.com, and you will see Vancouver on there.
What time is that going to happen?
It'll happen at 3 in the afternoon.
3 in the afternoon, okay. So plenty of time for folks to get down there.
The other great part about that for Vancouver only that I know of is I'm also going to do a big thing about honoring our veterans. It is Veterans Day weekend, and so we are also inviting veterans down to be honored, and we just want to make sure we tip our hats to them and thank them for their service. And I thought, what a beautiful way to merge that with a Dance for Kindness, a global event where we get to honor other people and honor our brothers and our sisters. So, yeah, it'll be a great event.
Another program that you have is called Inspiring Kindness, and it's with the Clark County Sheriff's Office. So tell us more about that.
Absolutely. Inspiring Kindness, powered by Life Vest Inside. It's our program, and we are so thankful that the Clark County Sheriff's Office is helping us facilitate that, because it is a program that is bringing law enforcement agencies and their communities together. Mm-hmm. As we know, as we look across the country, in different cities all over the world, there's a lot of animosity in a lot of cities related between citizens and their law enforcement agencies. But what we also forget is those people wearing those uniforms and those badges, they are doing a selfless task.
Yeah.
They're also our brothers, our sisters, our moms, dads, our neighbors. But in the end, they're taking up a charge to do something very, very powerful and important in our community. And so what our Inspiring Kindness program is if a Clark County Sheriff's, I have 10 deputies right now who are armed with kindness citations, and if they were to see you out there, and I'm going to use the simplest example in the world, Joe, of if they saw you pick up a piece of garbage off the ground, they could walk up and say, thank you for keeping our community clean. I'm going to issue you this kindness citation just because you did something good. Now, what you would do is you would take this citation, you'd go to our webpage, you'd log it in because each one is numbered independently, and then when you log that in, we will make a financial contribution to a local nonprofit just because of your kindness. In Clark County right now, we are donating to Santa's Posse, which gives Christmas to 1,000 families and gifts to 3,400 boys and girls throughout our community. But the other really fantastic, because that's good, but you're also going to get an email from us, Joe, that says, do you know someone who's kind, that's doing good things? And you can directly from your email to theirs, send them an email. If they click on it, we'll donate again. And then that ripple of kindness begins.
Oh, wow.
And it can go as far as it needs to go.
So for folks that are listening, you know, just some practical approach to this. And they're wondering, you know, how can I be more inspiring? You know, what would be your advice to them? How can they get started?
I would say in terms of coming into our fold, in terms of Life Fest Inside, I would say I tell everybody, first thing to do, subscribe to The Daily Kind and subscribe to The Kindness Flash. Those are our daily and our monthly newsletters. Mm-hmm. And you can do that right at lifefestinside.com. That's a great way to start. You really get to see the heart and soul of us. Not to mention you can go on our webpage and see a ton of other resources. And like us on all the social media platforms. I think we're on probably almost every single one of them.
Yeah.
And then I really want to say this too, which is, you know, we need at Life Fest Inside, we need financial partners. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the hard ask. You know, it's you never know how to do it, but whether it's just to support the organization because you saw something on our webpage that really resonated and said, I really want to back that, whether it's to sponsor a law enforcement initiative. Mm-hmm. That's how we actually do these, is we have some private donors that come up and say, I really want to fund Clark County Sheriff's Office and their mm-hmm. kindness citation program. There's a lot of avenues. There's a lot of avenues where people can get involved, and I just am excited to see them join the fold.
So plug the sites one more time, the websites.
So our main webpage is lifevestinside.com, mm-hmm. danceforkindness.com, and then as I've told people, you can always reach out to me personally right here in Clark County at jason@lifevestinside.com.
Jason Hattrick, COO of Life Vest Inside. Again, more information available at www.lifevestinside.com. And for folks interested in the Flash Mob Dance at Esser Short Park, it's going to be November the 11th, 3 p.m. That's also Veterans Weekend. So make sure you get it if you have an opportunity to come out for that. More information available for that at www.danceforkindness.com. Even if you're not nearby, let's say you're traveling that week and you want to go somewhere else, you can check and see if there's a city that's
absolutely
doing it. So, Jason, you know, I want to thank you for being on the show today and for all that you're doing to make our community a better place to live. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe, and right back at you. I really appreciate what you're doing as well.
Thank you.